everyone. It's First Byte. B-Y-T-E. Byte. See? You know, it's like a lion bite, but it's also a bite, which, I mean, I don't know. Do the kids these days, Ryan, the rock god, Ryan Matthews, at Ryan_POD, he's here. Ryan, do the kids these days know what a bite is?
They don't know what the Animaniacs are, and they don't know what Pinky and the Brain is, so they don't know anything.
Okay. Jeremy, fearless leader at Detroit Online. Do you know what a byte is?
It's digital and stuff.
I'll take that as an answer. I'm Chris Perfett at Chris Perfett, and we're here. We're the POD cast crew, and we're here to bring you First Byte. No guests tonight. This is a weird week for us. I don't think we're ready for a Monday Night Football that's this early on in the season for the Lions. Ryan, why don't you sing the song?
Oh, Monday night.
I don't think that's how it is, but we'll go with it. It's probably better. Did they honestly bring back that old guy to doing the song?
Hank Williams Jr.? I hope not.
They did.
We all know ESPN's political, so they probably didn't.
Political? Jemele Hill? What?
They're left like a Lende.
This is exactly how we should start this podcast, is yeah, alienating exactly. 100% of our listeners.
No, you
Lions
know what?
Talk,
no,
Lions
no.
Talk,
no.
Lions if, talk, yeah.
If you're listening to us, you are probably on our political spectrum. It's not like the site itself. I don't know. I don't know. Are you a Nazi and also a Lions fan? I want to hear from you.
If so, you might get your season tickets revoked. See, I brought it back.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that at all? Not about that guy, but about what Sandman is doing?
We got a story coming out on it this weekend. That'll be enough.
Well, give people a taste. Give people a taste. Tell them what Sandman's doing.
Well, Sandman, if you don't know, he's the curator of what he dubs slow lights, which are highlights in super slow motion, which is actually really interesting to watch because you kind of get to see the offensive line develop and all that stuff. But anyways,
if you are on Lions Twitter, you've run into Sandman at some point.
Yes.
He's great.
He's a season ticket holder himself. When he heard the news, he was quick rewind. There was a season ticket holder who Snapchatted a couple who were sitting for the national anthem, used a racial slur to describe them on Snapchat. It got all the way back to the Lions. The Lions essentially banned him from Ford Field. Anyways, Sandman hears about the story, is rightfully appalled by everything, decides he wants to buy that person's season tickets and essentially donate it to some sort of equality foundation. And so he's kind of in the midst of doing that right now.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, I saw the Lions kind of gave a half blessing to it. So stay tuned.
Yes.
Stay tuned. But let's talk about the game on Monday night and about the New York G-men.
The G-men. No Chris Berman.
No Chris Berman. He's gone now. Thank Christ. Okay.
Whoever is responsible for him no longer working for ESPN.
Well, let's start with the Lions though. Before we talk, actually, do you want to start with the Lions? Or you would start with the Giants. You know what? Let's mix it up because we don't have a guess. Let's start with the Giants. The big question is going to be if the Lions will have to see Odell Beckham Jr. Originally, he had an ankle injury, and I believe the original prognosis was 6 to 8 weeks, but he might be playing Monday.
Yep.
Is that what I'm reading here?
Yeah, he came out with these interesting comments this week saying that his initial prognosis was 6 to 8 weeks. It hasn't even been a full four. I think on Monday night, it'll be four exactly, because this all stems from a week 2 preseason injury, which was on a Monday night. So, he returned to practice for the first time since the injury this week. He's been limited on Thursday and Friday. Their final practice is Saturday. We're recording this Friday night, so we don't know exactly what his designation is going to be, but we can pretty much guarantee it's going to be questionable because it always is now. I think it's interesting because he said that 6 to 8 weeks thing, but then he kind of clarified and says, well, doctor said, you know, if you're a quick healer, it can be as short as 4 weeks. And even if that's true, that's, you know, he's hitting the very bare minimum of recovery time there if he's ready to go Monday. But that being said, all of the signs are really pointing to him playing on Monday, which leads me to believe either he lied about the 68-week thing or he's not going to be 100% on Monday, which is a whole different thing that we can talk about.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm reading too much into the fact that there was so much talk and consideration that he was going to be available for Sunday night's game in week one against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there was some actual expectation that there was some kind of possibility that he could play that week. So, I mean, I don't know if the 6 to 8 weeks is a true thing. And then him coming back and saying, well, if I'm a quick healer, it could be 4 weeks. I don't know if, I mean, I guess the question is, it boils down to whether or not is Odell Beckham Jr. going to be 100% when he plays the Lions, if he plays on Monday night.
I really don't know. And I think the answer to that is no, he's not going to be 100%. We've seen him not 100% before, and he's kind of, I don't know, he really struggles when he's not at top quality, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, one of his biggest qualities is his speed, his breakaway speed once he gets his mitts on the ball. And I mean, we're talking about an ankle sprain here, and we all saw what it did to Ziggy Ansah last year, even when he came back. Definitely wasn't himself. The question, though, to me is, if you're the Giants, is it worth him to even have him out there with the ankle sprain if he's not going to be 100% expect? I this is where I think I disagree. Because if you have Odell Beckham out there occupying Darius Slay for the entire game, that means suddenly that you have a guy like Nevin Lawson or DJ Hayden on Brandon Marshall, and Brandon Marshall didn't have a good game. He only caught one pass in the last 30 seconds, but if he's getting matched up with a number two corner instead of a number one corner, that could potentially open up him up for more opportunities on Monday.
But even that really doesn't bother me, because then, okay, if you're going to take, if by consequence you say Odell Beckham Jr. is going to line up outside the hash marks and you have Darius Slay occupying him, well, now you have Darius Slay taken away. Well, I'm not putting a safety over the top on Darius Slay, because a hobbled Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to get past Darius Slay. So now all of a sudden I can put a safety over the top and he can help out Lawson, or he can help out DJ Hayden, or even Sterling Shepard in the slot. Mm-hmm. Quandre Diggs had a really good game last week. I'm not saying that we should all of a sudden take that, you know, with a, you know, we should take that as the golden goose giving us an egg, but I'm just saying, like, I'm of the volition that if I'm the Giants, why am I going to put a guy out there just to be a decoy or just to take away Darius Slay, like, and risk further injury? Because football's a physical sport. You can't half-ass it out there.
It's true. I just think the alternative is worse for them. If Odell's not in this game, then they have no weapons that the Lions can't match easily, I think, with their secondary, except for maybe Evan Ingram.
Is it worth the setback? If you're the Giants, is it worth Beckham's injury being from, okay, you know what, if he's already practicing, was he doing individual drills this week?
Yeah. Just okay, individual.
So if he's just doing individual drills this week, then the next logical step would be ramping up to team drills in the following week. And I mean, I would rather have a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. in week three, or a healthier, a much more prepared one, than to risk another setback for him if I'm the Giants. Because is it really worth just beating, you know, is it such a huge hole to climb to? Or is it a bigger hole to climb out of not having your best offensive player for maybe another 4 or 5 weeks if he re-aggravates that ankle?
And that's a good point. And another thing that the Giants are going to have to consider is week three is going to come on a short week. So if he does aggravate it, or just, you know, simple wear and tear on an injury, he's going to have to recover quickly, you know, 6 days. And they're going to Philly against the Eagles. So that's another division game that they can't afford to lose, especially if they lose to the Lions. They can't go 0-3 in the first three games with two losses in the NFC East.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gives pause, and I think they do kind of try to rush him, because, I mean, God, they only put up 3 points against the Cowboys last week. Like, yeah, it's the Cowboys. They're good, but
their defense isn't that good.
No, yeah, no, it's not. And Eli did not look good, but who did look good, you mentioned earlier, was their first round draft pick, Evan Engram, the tight end. And I mean, I'm just thinking like, you know, okay, Engram had a pretty good debut. I'm trying to get his stats up here, but like, if he had a good debut, who did the Lions have problems with last year? What position in particular? Tight ends, right?
Yeah. And that's definitely something to keep an eye on. It's not something that killed the Lions last week, but I don't think, you know, Lions fans who have been paying close attention think that problem is completely gone yet. Jared Davis wasn't great in coverage in week one, better than what I think Lions fans were used to last year. But they're still looking for answers there. One of those answers might be Miles Killebrew, who I thought had a pretty darn good game in his debut in 2017. But yeah, Evan Engram is definitely a guy that I think this defense needs to account for this week. You know, one of maybe two or three weapons total in this Giants offense, but definitely someone to keep an eye on.
Four receptions for 44 yards, a long of 31. So, I mean, obviously not a ton being thrown his way, but I think it's impressive if a tight end's catching a 31 yard pass. I don't know.
It's more than Ebron caught last week.
Okay, man. Jesus Christ.
I think there's another injury that's really important to the Giants too, though, that we should bring up, and it's Bobby Hart. They're starting right tackle. Right. He's been dealing with an ankle injury, and you know, he suffered that injury in the Cowboys game in week one. So with his status being like day to day, and it seems almost like he's going to end up being somewhat of a game time decision. I mean, another big takeaway that a lot of people had from that Giants offense in week one was that their offensive line has just not improved at all whatsoever from last year. So
yeah.
All of a sudden you take away your starting right tackle. And then who are they? I'm looking at DJ Fluker. Like, really?
Yeah.
They had to replace him. Yikes.
I spent a lot of time looking at Giants websites this week, and they describe their offensive line as a crisis already in week one. That's right. Not good news. And the tackle specifically were pointed out as, you know, the troublesome area. So you have Flowers at left tackle, Bobby Hart, who I think of all the offensive linemen actually had the worst week. Some are actually looking at this ankle injury as an opportunity to maybe add by subtraction. Among the Giants offensive line, Hart missed Thursday's practice. He was limited on Friday. So he's trending in the right direction, but I think you're right in calling him a game time decision at this point. Either way, I don't think as a team you want to shuffle your offensive line this early in the season, even if it's after a bad performance. So I do think that, yeah, this is a big injury, whether it's on a guy that isn't playing very well or not. Any kind of shuffling among an offensive line that was already struggling usually is not a good sign.
Yeah. And speaking of that, the rushing, like we thought the Lions one was bad. Paul Perkins averaged 2.3 yards. Orleans Darkwa averaged more on three carries. But yeah,
total of 35 rushing yards.
35 rushing yards on the day, minus one coming from Eli Manning, technically 36 if you just look at the running backs. But yeah, but I want to talk about their defense. So with the left side of this Lions line in tatters, do you fear Olivier? Just wanted to make sure before I jumped in it. Really should have a sheet in front of me. Do you fear what they have on the edges, though, with Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul?
I want to say, I want to jump in here, Jeremy, but I think one of my big takeaways from last week is that Greg Robinson had a very, and Chris will appreciate this, adequate day. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of bad, there wasn't a whole lot of good, but he did just enough. And he did just enough against a really good pass rusher in Chandler Jones. So am I worried about Olivier Vernon? Absolutely, because maybe Greg Robinson just can't replicate a week like that again. But maybe he can. I kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But that defensive line as a whole has to be the strength of the Giants defense. I mean, they are really good.
Yeah, like, they were held to
right all the way across.
Yep. That's what they were
held
to.
They were held to one sack and four tackles for loss. But again, that was against the Cowboys offensive line.
Right. One of the best in the league. And
yeah.
And even if they gave up, you know, 129 yards rushing, 4.2 a carry, I'm guessing those are going to be on the lower end of the average for the Cowboys this year. So,
yeah.
Yeah. This is a great defensive line from front to back, like Ryan was saying. Even Dalvin Tomlinson, their rookie, had a good day according to Pro Football Focus, 84.6 grade. The one thing I will say about Greg Robinson in week one is that I thought he was actually excellent in pass protection. He did give up the one sack, but that was kind of a coverage sack. He'd held his man up for long enough. I thought he was pretty awful in run blocking, though. I noticed several times.
There wasn't a whole lot of good with across run the entire offensive line for run blocking. Yeah,
very true. So I think if you are hoping this is the week that the Lions running game breaks out, you are going to be severely disappointed. Mm-hmm. I think they probably show up even worse than they did in week one, to be honest. But I'm at least a little bit optimistic about their opportunities to protect Matthew Stafford, because they did okay in it in week one. And even though this Giants defensive line is probably a little bit better than the Cardinals, they held up well enough. And I think there's reason to believe Stafford will get his opportunities to go downfield.
All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, let's talk about the Lions, get back to this game, talk about the boys in the Honolulu Blue, and kick it on off. This is First Bite. We'll be right back. First Bite rolls along here, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Chris Perfett, Ryan Matthews, Jeremy Reisman. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Lions. Let's talk about the most exciting thing about the Lions, the most pressing need for this team, and that is punter? Question mark. What do you got for me, Jeremy?
Jeff Luck, baby.
Is that who we're going with? I've been really busy this week. Is that who we're going with?
We're not talking about the English philosopher and physician.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Teacher.
Professor, rock god professor, yeah.
Dr. Rock God. Yes. So Jeff Lock, the former Vikings draft pick, who interestingly enough was picked within 10 picks of Sam Martin in the 2013 draft. They were just chosen 10 picks apart. He spent the first 4 years with the Vikings, averaged like 42, I want to say, yards per punt, a little bit under 40 for his net. He's basically a veteran who knows how to do this, who isn't going to fumble the snap. He's going to do an okay job. He's going to do a better job than Matt Prater. No offense to him. But don't expect any like 60 yard Sam Martin bombs. Don't expect any hashtag punt god performances, but the Lions just need someone who they can rely on back there. And I think they got that guy. He's also probably going to be their holder, which is something to keep an eye on. Maybe be a little bit worried, but not too worried about.
Yeah. So punting.
You feel better now?
I guess. This seems really weird. When do we get Sam Martin back?
Week 7, which happens to be our bye week.
Holy God.
Assuming he doesn't trip on any more skateboards before then.
I still can't understand how this remains a thing that people are still quoting from that source. But hey, whatever. You know, he can be wrong about the skateboard. He can be wrong about the parasites. He can be wrong about everything. Got to investigate it, huh? We're being hyper petty right now. Let's talk about, I want to talk about this, what the Lions can do from here. So let's actually start. We're going to be talking a lot of wide receivers here, but let's start with Golden Tate before we jump into too much about matchups. What's the update on Tate? What do we have here?
So yeah, I think everyone kind of saw during the game, he had jammed his finger on one of Matthew Stafford's passes. Looked kind of bad the way he immediately grabbed it, but he had a splint on after the game. The splint is off. He was limited in practice on Thursday. He practiced in full Friday. He said it wasn't broken. He's not wearing the splint anymore. He said he's not going to wear a special glove. Basically, you don't have to worry about anything. It sounds like he's comfortable enough right now. He's not experiencing any pain. he's going to be his normal self. And I think he's going to be a big part of this team's game plan on Monday, like he always is.
So, I mean, that's going to be an interesting game plan. How do you see these wide receivers really lining up against this Giants secondary right now? Like, I mean, Lions, I mean, Marvin Jones got the Patrick Peterson treatment last week. But, I mean, this team did not do well against the Giants last year. Not even 10 months ago. They were just getting really, really torn up by the Giants. They really couldn't get anything going. So, again, with this defensive line, I don't really see anything getting going on the ground. So once again, Lions are going to have to go back to the air, probably with more pressure on Stafford.
This is going to be a revenge game. I have the feeling. Like, it has all the makings of being a revenge game, because the Lions team that they played last year certainly is not the Lions team that they're playing in week 2 of the 2017 NFL season. It's vastly different. Like, I mean, we're talking about fingers. Matthew Stafford's finger is fully functional. In terms of running backs, we're not down to Zach Zenner on the depth chart. In terms of offensive line, Travis Swanson's healthy. We have TJ Lang now. Rick Wagner's at right tackle. You know, I just think it's such a different team. And I'm just really interested to see what Kenny Galladay is able to do again. I mean, this Giants secondary is highly touted. It's one of the best in the league. You know, from left to right across the spectrum, they got Janoris Jenkins. They have, you know, Rogers Cromartie in the slot. Eli Apple's coming along really well as a young cornerback. Landon Collins back there is an all-pro safety. So it's going to be really, really intriguing to see just how I think the Lions are going to be. I think the Lions are going to be pretty amped up for this game.
And it's interesting you brought up Galladay, because he is my player to watch for this game. You mentioned Eli Apple's coming along, and he is coming along, but he's coming along slowly. If there's a weakness on this Giants secondary, I think it's him. And he kind of got picked on by the Cowboys last week. He got targeted 12 times, and this is according to, I believe, the New York Daily News. Targeted 12 times to the two, and he allowed 10 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. And you
that's
have
not
to.
Good.
That's not good. And Chris mentioned that Marvin got shadowed by Patrick Peterson last week. Well, Janoris Jenkins happened to follow, what's his name? Jesus.
Dez Bryant.
Dez. Yes, he followed Dez Bryant the entire game. Those were the two only shadows in the entire NFL. So it stands to reason Jenkins is going to shadow Marvin Jones if they think he's that big of a threat, which leaves Kenny Galladay on Eli Apple. And I think Galladay is going to win that matchup.
Well, the other interesting matchup that I'm really looking forward to is the Giants have struggled all the way back to last year. Their defense is really good, but they're kind of soft in the middle. They're a little bit squishy in the middle at that second level. And
that sounds really familiar.
Well, they really struggled to cover tight ends. Tight ends have a lot of success against the Giants. I mean, last week, old man Jason Witten, the tried and true Jason Witten had, you know, one of his vintage Witten games, and that guy is very long in the tooth. So for all the people who gave Ebron a lot of crap last week, I think this is the week he might put you back on notice, because you know, like you said, Jeremy, I think the matchup with if Eli Apple's on Kenny Galladay, that's going to be something to watch. But I think Eric Ebron stands to have statistically a better game this week than he did last week when it comes to receptions and yards and maybe even touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the Lions add in more Michael Roberts too.
Possible.
He didn't play a lot.
How probable it is.
Yeah, he didn't play a lot, and last week, it's an interesting thought, because I think if Eric Ebron doesn't show something this game, it kind of is going to tell you a lot about his role with the team going forward. And I know he's still coming back from an injury of his own, but he wasn't really a big factor in the first matchup. 4 catches, 36 yards against the Giants last year. But I mean, this team, like you said before, this team has a lot of weapons. I mean, we're talking about the Giants being soft up front. What about Theo Riddick in the passing game? he tears apart the center of that field when they put linebackers on him. What about Amir Abdullah in the passing game? He's someone who I think we underrate as a pass catcher. The Lions, I think they just have so many weapons on offense at this point that it's kind of tough to point to one guy and say, this is going to be his week. But at the same time, even a team that's so talented defensively, like the Giants, I don't know if they can keep pace with the Lions this week.
All right, let's do predictions. Let's do things we think we know about this game and what all you see in here. We've got some time to kill, so if you want to just make these a little longer. But Jeremy, why don't you start? What do you think you know about this game?
I think I know that the Giants are not going to score two touchdowns in this game. I don't see how it happens, even if Odell Beckham is healthy and ready and playing. I just don't see how this offense is any better than the offense that the Lions faced last week. And I think they're significantly worse, to be honest. They don't have a running game. They don't have a guy that's anywhere as close to talented as David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, the Cardinals just had way too many playmakers while the Giants have none, and the Giants have much worse of an offensive line. So I think this Lions defense continues to impress people. And I want to make clear, I don't think this would say a lot about the Lions defense, even if they do hold the Giants below two touchdowns. This isn't a good test for them. I think next week when they play the Atlanta Falcons, that might be a real test right there. But I think at this point, Giants don't score more than two touchdowns, and maybe that means they get to, 13 points or so. But that's about all I see them getting.
I would be shocked if they were held to just that, man. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just not used to thinking about this Lions defense doing that kind of stuff.
It's
been
a
while since they've done those type of things.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you think you know about this game?
I'm just going to come out and say, I think I know the Lions are going to win this game. But I don't know. It just seems like everything is in place for the Lions to come out on Monday night. And I don't want to call it a statement win or anything like that, but I'm going to. It'd be a statement win to go out on Monday night on national television, to go up against a team who made the playoffs last year, who, essentially really helped put the Lions back a step when it came to their hopes for winning a division last year. I think the Lions are going to be ready for this game. I think that the defense, there was the piece that Kyle Monkey put out on M Live, Cornelius Washington telling him to shove stuff up his ass, talking about the defense is going to be much better than Monkey even thinks it could be. They go out against the Cardinals and they had their way against the Cardinals. The Cardinals scored touchdowns and they moved the ball a little bit, but I'm telling you what, I can't forget that the biggest takeaway from week one was that the Lions defense truly kept them in the game. They really did.
Yeah.
Really. And I mean, with the field position that they were getting at times, Matt Prater was the kicker and the punter. The Cardinals had every opportunity to move the ball and they just didn't. They didn't, whether it was the secondary or whether it was, the pass rush didn't get home all the time last week. Maybe it doesn't even need to get home because the Lions secondary is just that much more improved than it was a year ago. So I think I know the Lions are going to win this game. And I totally agree with Jeremy. I think the Lions defense, if they hold the Giants to two touchdowns, I'm not going to be necessarily impressed, but I kind of expect that. And I don't know if that's me putting too much trust in this defense for just one week of play, but I'm not trying to put too much stock into last week. It's just, when I look at this Giants team and especially how they played against the Cowboys defense, Jeremy, would you take the Cowboys defense over the Lions defense?
Ooh, it's way too early to say something like that.
You're scaring me here. You guys are calling this a lock for a win, which means historically the Lions are going to screw this up.
That's kind of the point I was going to bring up, because Ryan was like, the stars are aligning for the Lions to make this statement win. I'm like, and the first thing that went through my mind was like, isn't that exactly where the Lions want us? to have us in that position where we have all of the optimism in the world and they're about to bring hell down upon us.
Like, this is not even an SOL thing. This is just from years watching Lions football being like, okay, they win against teams that they're not supposed to win against, and they
sounds
lose
like
against
an
teams
SOL
not
thing.
Supposed to lose.
That's exactly no, an SOL thing.
No, it's not. It's not, because I'm saying they win some
it
stuff.
It is.
Like, come on. Like, I feel better about their season this year after watching what happened with the Cardinals, but come on the road and we're yelling. I mean, granted though, there is this on their favor. And I will say this is that last time they played the Giants on Monday Night Football, they ran them out of their own place.
That was at Ford Field, but yeah,
that was at Ford Field. Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah. Still, whatever. Who cares?
Hold on. Chris, real quick, Jeremy, Chris, if you want a reason for optimism, trust your familia in Vegas. Okay. The Giants line went from -6 to -3.
No, that just means people are betting. That just means the public's betting on the Lions. That's not good.
No, it is good, because trust me, Vegas doesn't want to lose no money.
I want to praise a little bit, preach a little bit of caution, because if you were to go back to ourselves, not even go back that far, go back to our halftime selves of week one. And just look at where we were as a fan base at halftime of the game last week.
I was literally tweak from South Park. There was way too much caffeine,
too much just coffee
soaking my brain. So,
but I, no, I mean,
but hold on. Did you at halftime of the Cardinals game? Did you really feel that much concern? Like about the offense? You knew the offense was going to come around. Like, that was my feeling at halftime. Like, the offense is going to come around. Maybe they might not come around to the point to win this game, but I knew that offense was not the Lions' offense by any means.
Well, see, I guess that's where I disagree, because this offense has been inconsistent for years, and I think it will continue to be inconsistent. And against a team like the Giants, I mean, we saw what they did to them last year, and I wouldn't be completely shocked to see the Giants also hold the Lions to two touchdowns or under. I think, you know, with a healthier team right now and more weapons, the Lions should do significantly better. But I mean, we've seen this offense go through long droughts in games and punt after punt after punt after punt. I mean, the Lions, what, they punted, I want to say, 6 or 7 times that game.
You saying you don't trust in Jeff Locke?
No, I'm just saying this team could go through a drought for 3 quarters and Stafford turns it on in the last quarter. So I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I think my final prediction was something like 20-16. But I mean, I can definitely see the Lions scoring less than 20 points in this game. This is a great Giants defense, and this offense is inconsistent.
All right, let's leave it there. We give the people their time. We've told them what they know. Let's let them have a good game. This has been First Bite. Check us out, prideofdetroit.com. See you star side. Enjoy the game on Monday night. Ryan, take us home.
Oh, Monday night.